Okay. All right. I want to transition now into a bit of a conversation that we had yesterday. You know, we were debating, for those that didn't listen to the Monday edition of Current Sports, we were debating here on the air whether or not the National Basketball Association should cut down the NBA season from 82 games. And you heard my thoughts on that. I'm saying, okay, these players are just whining for no reason. It's been 82 games for a long, long time. That's tradition. You know, you didn't hear players back in the day complaining. Basically, I said, man up, suck it up. This is the way it's been. I just think you're being soft. And I still stand by that somewhat, Connor, because you took the other side of this. But after reading a piece, did you read the piece from Baxter Holmes of ESPN? I read it front to back, back to front, and I've had at least two conversations now with some, with my stepdad and my homie Marcel. We've talked about this, and it's really enlightening and very jarring. And I don't know if a lot of parents fully understand, because I know I didn't until I read the piece, fully understand just how crazed and confused those who are in charge of youth basketball here in America are. And I just want to throw out some things to make you think. All right. Because again, the title of the piece, and please give it a read. If you got some time, you know, it took me about, you know, like 20, 25 minutes to peruse through and really take in. But again, it's written by Baxter Holmes, and it's entitled, "These Kids Are Ticking Time Bombs, The Threat of Youth Basketball." And, it's talk about credible. He really did his research here. He talked to a lot of different sources that put this whole piece in a light that is very troubling. It really is. Per certified athletic trainer Jeff Stotts, who has cataloged the careers of more than 1,100 players since that point and is considered the most authoritative public resource for tracking injuries in the NBA, check these numbers. In 2017-18, the number of NBA games lost to injury or illness surpassed the 5,000 mark for the first time since the league stopped using the injured reserve list prior to the 05-06 season. Also, per Jeff Stotts, this past year, he has seen that in 2018-19, the league topped the 5,000 mark again. In 2017-18, players who had been named to multiple All-Star teams missed an average of 14 games due to injury. That's the second highest such figure that Stotts has recorded. That figure actually jumped this past NBA season to 17 games. So that's a 3-game increase. Also, according to Stotts' database, the 4 highest tallies of games missed by young players in their first 2 seasons have occurred in the past 4 years. Players picked in the 2014 first round miss 838 games due to injury in their first 2 seasons. I'll repeat that. Players picked in the 2014 NBA first round draft miss 838 games to injury during the first 2 seasons. That's the highest figure that Stotts has ever recorded. In 2015, 637 games, the third highest tally. In 2016, there were 548 missed games. And in 2017, 751 games, the second highest. So we're starting to see this number increase. So putting that all in perspective, you're probably sitting there and saying, why? Why, Al, are we seeing rookie NBA players come in or sophomore players entering that second year in the NBA? Why are we seeing an alarming rate of injuries happen? Because again, folks, we did not see this happen in the 90s. We didn't see it happen in the 80s. There is something going on here. Well, this is what Baxter Holmes did. you know, throughout the course of months here. He sat down with many, many people through dozens of interviews, actually over the past 2 years, after dozens of interviews with NBA teams and league officials, current and former players, AAU coaches, parents, youth players, researchers, medical and athletic training officials in and around the NBA, as well as those intimately involved with youth basketball, one possible answer repeatedly emerged. Players are physically broken down by the time they reach the NBA. This is what one NBA GM said, who says his team's injury databases on players entering the draft dating back to decades leave no question that there are more orthopedic issues among young players in recent years. He says, quote, "It is grave. It is very sad where a kid has an NBA body. He's got NBA talent. He's got even an NBA mentality. But he does not have the body that can withstand the rigors of the training and the actual games. Whether it's to get to the NBA or just hold up, it's a tough deal." Here is Dr. Neeru Jayatani, the Director of Sports Medicine Research and Education at Emory Healthcare in Atlanta. He's one of the leading researchers, on youth sports. He's on record of saying in the piece, quote, "Kids are broken by the time they get to college." Kids are broken by the time they get to college. So this is a systemic problem. That is what is being argued here in the piece. And again, there is pretty compelling evidence on a lot of different fronts here. Bottom line, kids are being overworked. So there are a lot of miles on the tire by the time these kids are finished with high school sports and are trying to make that decision to play college ball. And heck, even more miles on the tires if they play professionally. So, you know, what's the difference between now and back in the day? Well, he cites the GOAT, Michael Jordan, who is really like, you know, one of the measuring sticks, not just in basketball, but in all of sports when it comes to toughness and playing through injury and resilience, right? MJ started all 82 games in 8 of his 13 seasons with the Bulls. Wally Blase, a Bulls athletic trainer from 93 to 2000, goes on record in the piece saying, quote, "When the season ended, Michael left and played golf and didn't pick up a basketball again until probably a little bit before training camp in September. He might have played pickup ball with some friends, but he wasn't working 8 hours a day at some gym with the shooting coach." And in contrast to the myth that has grown around him, Blase notes that Jordan didn't treat every practice as if it were game 7. He says there were days when Michael would show up, put ice on his knees, go smoke a cigar, and go play 18 holes of golf. That's smart, you know, where in contrast to what we see today with today's NBA athlete, I mean, that athlete is in the gym all the time, working with a shooting coach, you know, lifting weights, you know, running miles, so on and so forth. So also in the piece, a separate 2016 study from Bell and his team found that 36% of high school athletes classified as highly specialized, and that's a big conversation that we're having in today's youth sports, right, Connor? Specialized sports, and whether or not a young man or a woman should just be focusing on one sport all year round. So in this 2016 study, Bell and his team found that 36% of high school athletes classified as highly specialized training in one sport for more than 8 months a year, and that those athletes were 2 to 3 more times likely to suffer a hip or knee injury. And this just doesn't stop at basketball. Here's research on specialized youth tennis players and also kids who specialize in other sports. Their conclusion: those who were highly specialized in one sport and played it year-round were at a significantly higher risk for serious overuse, such as bone and cartilage injuries and ligament injuries. How much higher of a risk? And this is the stat I brought up yesterday, Connor. They peg it at about 125%. That is mind-boggling. So what's happening that we're seeing in this piece, this is what Baxter Holmes is reporting on and backed it up with numerous numbers that bring this whole conversation in some troubling light. This is a pretty credible piece. What's happening is that we are overworking our youth. Multiple games and tournaments throughout the week on top of practice to the point where the bodies of these young men and women are breaking down. And sure, they may be more athletic because that's the counter argument as well. They always hear this, Connor, you know, oh, they're bigger, faster, stronger today, right? But Dr. Mike Clark, who actually founded a program widely used across the NBA that focuses on movement efficiency and injury recovery and prevention. I love this analogy that he gives in this piece, Connor. He says, quote, imagine a car with a powerful engine, one carefully engineered and maintained for years. But as powerful as that engine has become, the car's brakes and suspension are equally poor. So the car can't handle the stress that its engine puts upon it. All akin to placing Ferrari's top racing motor inside a hybrid while making no adjustments to the car's frame. Simply put, today's players are faster, stronger, and more athletic. The product of years of weight training, speed training, vertical jump training, skills training, but the brakes, the suspension, i.e. their ankles, hips, and core, while often neglected, remain tasked with enduring the brunt of the body's force. Kids are overworked today. And that's why I wish I would have read this piece before we engaged in that discussion yesterday, because this isn't an NBA problem. In a way, it is. In a way, it is. But this is a systemic problem that you know, you can rewind all the way back to when little Johnny or little Susie picks up that basketball and starts participating in youth sports here in America. That has to change. They are overworked. So no wonder why we see players getting injured left and right and players complaining and needing to take games off in the association. Enlightening stuff, huh?
Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of part of it is too, is that, you know, in today's youth basketball, if you're in AAU, that's a year long deal. That's not like, say a, you know, more traditional old school basketball league where it's, you get a league in the winter and then you have spring off and then you have a league in the summer and you get fall off.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's you're basically playing a semi-pro schedule then, or even like on par with a college schedule mm-hmm. for basketball, and sports like that just take a toll on your knees and your ankles, which are two incredibly important parts
right.
for basketball. The other thing too, and I don't know if it was this piece that mentioned it or if it was another one, but another part of it is that they're only one sport athletes. So instead of taking those the off time and pursuing, say, swimming or some other sport that isn't so intense and heavy on the knees and the ankles,
it does cover
they're
that
going
as well.
Yeah, they're you're going working, they're going back into the same thing and wearing down the same parts.
You're working other parts of your body if you are playing other sports, right? Mm-hmm. If you're just playing one sport, you're working on those same muscles and putting stress on those same joints day after day after day. Whereas if you were playing multiple sports, you're working out other parts and not putting so much stress on one particular area. But it truly is fascinating. I think this is a piece. Baxter Holmes, an amazing job. I've read it front to back, back to front. Baxter Holmes of ESPN did an amazing job of laying this all out. And it really, I think every parent out there who has a son or daughter participating in youth sports here in America, you have to read it. And it also dives into Kobe Bryant and what he is trying to do with his young daughter, Gianna, who's a pretty good basketball player, by the way. And this is the counter to it, too. You know, if you are the parent of a young star athlete and you're trying to get, you know, your little one a scholarship to a big time university or just a scholarship period, I mean, it's hard to do that without participating basketball wise in the AAU circuit. It's hard. It's like, okay, well, I don't want to, you know, put my young son or daughter at risk here. But in order for them to get seen by some of the big schools out there and some of the, you know, big time recruiters, I kind of have to do this, right? Because other parents are doing the same thing.
But here's the counter to that is that the AAU circuit, yes, it's all year, but you don't have to participate in it all year. I've seen plenty of players who do. I'm going to do AAU in the summertime where I can travel and do all this other stuff, and I'll have the opportunity, the time to do that. And then when winter league comes around, they're playing a standard league, or they're playing for their school, which is still a heavy schedule.
It's still a heavy schedule.
But it's not AAU where there's a preseason tournament, there's regular season, there's a midseason tournament, there's a postseason tournament.
Right, there's additional
tournaments and all these other things you have to add on top of it.
And that's the thing, though. The big time recruits, and the recruits are like the 3-, 4-, 5-star guys, they're participating in that. And recruits want to see IU perform against that kind of competition. Watch At All Costs on Netflix. If you haven't seen that, that really, you know, pulled back the veil of AAU hoops for me, and made me kind of look at things a bit different.